to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
You need to have the ability. You know, the gifting is there. We just don't want the desire. We want the gifting. Come on, somebody. Many years ago, and I say that with every bit of seriousness, if you just like to hit things, don't apply. Come on, somebody. But if you're a drummer and have some background in it, we need a drummer. The reason I say this is for years and years, the Charismatic Church was known for its tambourines. And the hardest thing in life was to have some tambourine players on these front rows that was out of me. Come on, somebody. I had dreams sometimes of coming out off that stage, taking that thing, ramming them on the head with it and sitting them down. There were people that had the desire but had no ability whatsoever. They were so offbeat and going this and that. And so if you've got the talent or know someone that is, they are looking for a drummer. And so that's kind of the central cog in everything. And if you know that can either throw a whole group off or whatever. So if you know someone, that'd be great help. All right. Today, Revelation chapter 12. We're going to do one more on this one. It says, the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him. Everybody say they have conquered him. God expects us to conquer the devil. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And we've taken that second phrase and we're going to do one more on it today. They are conquering the devil by the word of your testimony. Everybody say that with me. Conquering the devil by the word of your testimony. Father, we ask you this morning that you would enlighten our minds. Open our understanding that we can receive. Lord, we know this is not a textbook, but Lord, it's a spiritual book. So we pray this morning, Lord, open our eyes. We cannot understand unless you open our minds and open our understanding that we can receive the truth. Lord, we don't want knowledge to puff up. We want truth to set free. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a high five this morning. Would you do that? Come on. The word joy can best be defined as Jesus and then others and then yourself. You know, if you want real joy in your life, you've got to learn how to put Jesus first, others before yourself, and then you last. The purpose of your testimony is not so much to conquer the devil in some, you know, nighttime vision fighting, but the conquering of the devil has to do with conquering the devil in the lives of other people. Conquering the devil has to do with conquering the devil in the lives of other people. Somebody say others, would you? William Booth, one time, one of the great that began the Salvation Army, when it was really a great Salvation Army. One time he was scheduled to speak at a conference and he couldn't make it. And so he sent his sermon instead. And when they got up to read his sermon, it was one word, and the word was others. Everybody say others. That was his entire sermon, was others. He began to learn. In John chapter 4, there was a story of a young woman who was the woman, you know, the woman at the well, we call her. And the Bible says this about her. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. Everybody say the woman's testimony. One woman's testimony, many Samaritans believed in him because of that one woman's testimony. And that was, he told me all that I ever did. And I told you one of the reasons, probably because God knows who to use when God wants to use somebody. Because she had been married 5 times and then she was living with somebody else. And I used to say this, she'd married 5 times. She must have been related to everybody in that town at some point. Come on, somebody. And she said, the Lord, he told me everything I ever did. And the Bible says that because of that, the Samaritans came out of the town and they came up to him. And he says, many of them believed on him because of the woman's testimony. You know what the Bible says? Turn me down a little bit. I'm ringing up here. Is basically this is because the Bible says that she began to give her That's all she knew was her testimony. And you may not know a lot, but at least you know your testimony. Amen. You may not know everything there is to know about the Bible, but you know your testimony. And the Bible says she went out and all she knew was, come and see a man that told me everything. That was her testimony up to that point. So you don't have to wait 5 years to get your testimony in line. The Bible says she met her within an hour. She's in town giving her testimony. Everybody say testimony. Because she was conquering the devil in the lives of these Samaritans simply by the word of her testimony. The Bible says they came running out of that town to meet him. And the Bible says many of them believed in him because of the word. See, what you can do is this. You don't have to know a lot of Bible. You don't have to buy. You know, when you read the story, she tried to debate with the Lord about, you know, this and that about, you know. But he just stopped her. And the Bible says when she left there, she didn't worry about theology. She only said she gave her testimony. I mean, in here have a testimony. Let's see your hands. You know what keeps your testimony alive is by retelling your testimony. If your testimony is far back in the fact, what happens is this. One of the things about hurts and grievances is that keeps it alive is when you keep thinking about it. Keep rehearsing it. Keep, you know, we try to tell people, you need to deal with that and let that go. And don't. But you know what I could tell you about your testimony? You need to think about that thing. You need to keep rehearsing that thing. You need to keep that thing in your brain. You need to keep telling other people about it. You need to keep it alive in your life. And you do that by rehearsing it. You do that by telling other people about it. You do that by continually talking about it. Like you do your hurts. Come on, somebody. Like you do your grievances. Like you do all that wrong stuff. If you'll just, you know what happens? You'll see people who got hurt 10 years ago. And when you're talking there, you don't know what the time frame is. You think it happened last week. And then when you say, when did that happen? It happened 10 years ago. You know that same thing can happen in your testimony if you just start talking about your testimony. They'll think, did you just get saved last? No, I've been saved 25 years. Man, it seems like it's alive. It's real to you. Well, I'm preaching better than you're responding. Come on, somebody. You know, Jesus is at Samaria. And, you know, the Bible says this. I'll show you this. Jesus comes and he was weary. And he was at a well. Let's go ahead and read all these scriptures. I'll come back. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into where? Into the city of Samaria to buy food. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you're right in saying I have no husband. For you've had five of them, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. I always like that line right there. I perceive you are a prophet. Keep going. Just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of the town and were coming unto him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. Now, I want you to get that. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, say, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples said, has anyone brought him something to eat? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. Everybody say, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. He's telling his guys. He said, don't tell me 4 months and then comes the harvest. Lift up your eyes, I tell you, and see the fields that are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages. Guess who was receiving wages that day? A woman at the well was receiving wages that day. And gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here is the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Now, let me tell you, they did not reap. Come on, somebody. They went into town and they did not reap a thing. I sent you to reap on that which you did not. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Very barely. I'll say that in just a minute. Do not say there are yet 4 months. He begins to talk about it in the harvest. Now, let me talk to you a little bit this morning. Jesus goes to this well, and the Bible says he sits and he's tired, and he asks a woman for water. The disciples have left him. They went into town. And the Bible says this woman, a Samaritan woman, says, you don't have any dealings with us. Why are you asking for water? He tells them the story. He says, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me a drink. And the ensuing conversation occurs. And the Bible says at the end of it, you know, prophetically, he reads her life, reads her mail. She perceives he's a prophet. He tells her, I'm the Christ. And she leaves there immediately and runs back into town. While she's about to leave, the Bible said the disciples come back and they're watching Jesus and they're watching him talk to this woman, Samaritan woman. I won't go into all the ands and ifs and don'ts and all that, but that just wasn't done in that day. And then when she leaves, they come and they say, Lord, here, eat. And Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know not of. And you know what I tell people? There are people all the time, man, I'm starving spiritually. Let me tell you, if you're starving spiritually, a Bible study will not always be what fills you up. You know what happens sometimes? Jesus said, here's what's filled me up today. I witnessed to a lost person. I shared with a lost person. And he said, I'm going to tell you what, it was food that you know not of. Can I tell you sometimes why you can leave church and still feel empty? It's because you're so full, can't nothing else get inside you. And you've got to give away what you have received. The Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it only takes, it doesn't give. The Sea of Galilee is alive because what comes in from the top goes out the bottom. It's continually giving away what it receives. And the Bible says they come back and he's talking to this woman and she leaves and they try to give him food. He says, I've got meat to eat that you know not of. It's to do the will of him that sent me. And that moment, the will of God was to share with one unsaved woman sitting at a well. And he shares with her and he changes her life. And the Bible says she runs back into town. Now listen to this. One of the keys about it is this. Jesus comes, and you got to realize this. These guys have just gone into town. They come back out with some food. But they never told one person in that town, never shared their testimony, never shared, we used to be fishermen, we used to be tax collectors, but that we met a man that changed our lives, and now we've left everything, and we're following him, and the miracles that are occurring, and the changing of lives, not only ours, but others. They didn't say one word in that whole town. All they came out of that town with was bags of groceries. Bologna. No, not bologna. They had all these things they came out of town with. Bread and food and meat. And they come out of town to feed them. And the Bible says this Samaritan woman runs back down the same road they just came out. And ran into the same town they just got out of. And instead of worrying about business and work and food and all, you know what the Bible says? She began to share her testimony. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Come, he's sitting right outside our city with the chance of a lifetime. And the Bible says they came out in droves. And they said, now we believe in him because of this woman's testimony. And later they said, not only because of her testimony, but we've heard her and now we believe also. I have a medical friend, and I remember one time he said he took a course. He'd been in practice for about 20 years and he took a course, a refresher course. And he said, you know, one of the things they made us do? He said, one of the things to be able to do, you had to promise to do what they gave you to do. And one of the things he had to do was he had to go in each of his rooms, his exam rooms, and sit in there for 30 minutes. And do nothing but sit there and look. Look at the tiles. Look at the floorboard. Look at the baseboard. Look at the carpet. Look at the chair. You know why? They said because we as human beings have this ability to look at something so long we don't see it anymore. You ever had a group of people coming over to your house? And you start looking around at the place. Come on, somebody. He said, you know, I never know. That floorboard really needs to be painted. How many of you right now, you're thinking some room in your house. You're thinking, I've got blinded to that. The ceiling's coming down. I mean, it's hanging down. I don't even notice it anymore. You ever notice the difference between people that have kids and people that don't have kids? Just sitting there, and you're sitting there thinking, are they ever going to discipline that kid? Are they going to make that kid shut up? Are they going to make that kid sit down? And the other guy just sitting there, life is good. Because you have the ability not to see. And the same thing is true. You know, Jesus said this to him. He said, verse 35, he said, lift up your eyes. Amen. You know why? Because they didn't lift up their eyes. They were not seeing. They were blinded. They're foremost. He says, look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. You went into that city and you didn't see anything. You're blinded. Because, listen, there are people in that city that would have responded to me. There are people in this city that would have come out and saw the fountain of living waters. There was people in that city that would come to me. Listen, I don't know, they were prejudiced. I won't go into all that story and all this, but they thought these people never want Jesus. You know, there's a Psalms in the book of Psalms that says, he that looks at the skies will never sow his seed. Oh, it's going to rain today. It's not a good day to sow seed. Oh, it's burning up sun. It's not a good day to sow seed. You know what the Bible says about the sower, the parable of the sower? He just went out and he sowed the seed. It didn't say the sower went out. And in the parable, he says, I'm the sower. Jesus is the sower. He went out and sowed the seed. And he said, he didn't say, I'm not going to sow any seed over there because that looks like hard ground. Not that's stony. That's weeds. I'm not sowing any seed. You know what he said? The sower went out just like this. Just sowed the seed everywhere. Didn't just wait. I really feel like this is God right here. He just sowed the seed everywhere. You know why? Because if you only sow the seed when you think you're going to reap, you'll miss the times when you're supposed to be watering and supposed to just be nurturing and supposed to be planting. You'll miss those seasons because that's the hardest, the barest, the nothingness is when you have to sow the seed. That's when everything looks barren. That's when it looks like there'll be no need to witness there because it's barren. No, you're just sowing the seed right then. You're just sowing the seed right then. Another time you might come by and say, well, they're not right ready yet. But you just might be the waterer, the one that's going to water that right then. So what you do is this. Jesus says, lift up your eyes. The Bible says that woman runs in the town. Same people, same, you know, baker, same, you know, whatever. And she shares her testimony and they come out in flocks to see him who is outside the walls of their city. Everybody say, lift up your eyes, would you? They didn't reach anybody. Who did God use? Somebody been married 5 times. Come on, somebody. Oh, that was back then. That's a different stigma. Yeah, it was a different stigma. It was a greater stigma then than it is even now. Who does God use? A woman who was living with somebody. Come on, somebody. He never, listen, if we don't lift up our eyes, who will God use? He'll use the drug addicts. He'll use the alcoholics. He'll use the prostitutes. He'll use the adulterers. Will he leave them in their sin? Absolutely not. He'll raise them out of there, give them a testimony, set them on fire, and send them into the harvest. And they'll reap a harvest because they've got a real testimony that's alive. When's the last time you rehearsed, you told again, you shared about your testimony? God will use it. Listen, he'll use a Lazarus generation, 4 days dead and stinketh. Come on, somebody. He'll send them into the harvest. I've learned this. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. You know why? Because people matter to God. He created this whole world
for people. Look, turn to the next scripture. Look at this one. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They had so glorified the Sabbath. It was as if man had been made for the Sabbath. And Jesus comes on the scene and says, let me tell you, I am God Almighty. And the reason I ever made a Sabbath was for man. I never made a Sabbath and said, man is made for the Sabbath. I never did that. The reason I made a Sabbath was for the good of man, because he was more important than anything else. And I made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. What's your Sabbath in your life? What's more important than people in your life? You know, one of the things I grew up with my kids was I never wanted them to feel like the car was more important to them, or the rug was more important to them, or the stereo set was more important to them. I taught them responsibility. I taught them all that. But I never wanted them to feel these things were more important to them. You know why? Because these things were made for them, not them for these things. And I've learned in my life, I told them, they know this over and over. You've got to learn. Look at Luke 14. Look at what Jesus did. One Sabbath. Everybody say Sabbath. And that was a big deal in that day. That's what he was trying to get across. Their big idol was the Sabbath. And he was trying to get across to them, you've taken this thing and made an idol out of it. And what's important is the people, not the thing. And he says one Sabbath when he went out to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. Behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen to a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. You know what Jesus was doing? He didn't care a hoot about their stance on the Sabbath. He that was not what he was upset about. You know what he was upset about? He was upset about because they had made a death without maybe even knowingly they were doing it. They had made a decision on who was more important to God or more important in their eyes than the Sabbath. See, they felt like they couldn't reply because each one of them had pulled an ox out. And probably just a few days, a week before, they'd pulled an ox out or a son out of a well. And everybody else clapped and cheered. Good, God understand. Yeah. And then there's this poor blind man. And they feel like he's not worthy to be healed on the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath is more important than this blind man. You know what they were deciding? Who was important to God and who wasn't important to God. Sophia Loren one time. Young people don't have any idea who that is. She was an actress years gone by. And one time on an Italian set, she had all of her expensive jewelry and it all got stolen. And she went to the Italian director and just was boo-hooing and crying about all of this jewelry that had been lost. He was an older man. Older, 90, 200 years old, something like. He was an old man. And you know what she told him? You know what he told her? He said, I've lived a long time. Let me give you some wisdom. Never cry over something that cannot cry over you. Come on, somebody. Never cry over something that can't cry over you. Everybody say people are important to God, would you? One time he came to a sizable metropolitan city. And you always had the Pharisees in this city. And they were having their holy huddle. They were together. They were the elite of the elite in the religious realm. And the Bible says Jesus used to come to cities and he would get and gather together the tax collectors, the prostitutes. He would gather the rabble of the city along with anybody wanted to come. He would all that come to him. He would not turn them away. Where they were rich or rulers or poor or beggars, blind or healthy, or it didn't matter. He just had them all come But the religious leaders of that day was huddled because they were keeping everything clean and spotless. And it was like a friend of mine had a dream one night. He dreamed he was in a hospital and everything was shiny and clean. The beds were white and stainless steel, and there was a car wreck and through the doors came these bloody people and there's blood being spilled everywhere. And he was the minister said, get that out of my hospital. And he woke up in bed. He said, because the Sunday before he had an altar call, he was down in New Orleans, and he said these prostitutes were coming down, and he said he was trying to get away from them at the altars, and one of them come up, mascara going everywhere. That's when you had mascara running everywhere. She was half dressed, put her arms, she'd gotten saved that morning. And he woke up in bed, and he heard the words, this is a hospital. Come on, somebody. Look at this in Luke 15. Who matters to God? Listen to what now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. Everybody say grumbled. Saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them. Now listen, watch this. They were all around him. I got a feeling he did it sort of like this. He's out there with this multitude coming to him. And over here is this holy huddle of Pharisees. They're grumbling over there. They're upset because the sinners and the prostitutes, the tax collectors, they're all coming to him. And so I kind of got this feeling he kind of moves his whole huddle over near, this whole mass over near the holy huddle. So that the holy huddle can hear what he's about to say to them. And he begins to tell three stories. He told them three parables in a row to teach them who matters to God. Because they did not understand who matters to God. So he tells three parables in a row to teach them who matters to God. He did what he said. He what man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? But when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Everybody say rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, seek diligently until she finds it? And when she found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I have lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And then the next verse, he tells a story about the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to read that whole thing. You know the story where there's a prodigal son. He leaves. When he comes back, the Bible says the father kills a fatted calf, rejoices over it, and they have a rejoicing time. You know what? Let me tell you three things here this morning. Number one is this. There was three parables he told them, and he was discussing on who matters to God. And number one truth I saw in this is number one is this. Something in all three of those stories, something of value was missing. The sheep mattered to the shepherd. The coin mattered to the woman. And the son mattered to the father. And Jesus and all these riffraff around him, he had those kind of people. And he moved them over against this holy huddle. And he's trying to tell them, this is who matters to God. Because something of value was missing. What was missing was belonged to God. And listen, when you read the Old Testament, it speaks about, and God was grieved at his heart because he was missing his creation that he made. When Adam went astray, he came down. He said, Adam, where are you? He knew physically, but there was a missing something in his heart. And what I've learned is this, is listen, lost people matter to God. For God so loved the church that he gave his only begotten. Is that what it says? For God so loved the what? God so loved the people at your work. God so loved the people at your school. God so loved the people, your neighbors. God so loved your customers. God so loved the world. Jasmine's grandfather had a unique way of witnessing. We've got it still as a treasure, but he put a book, he made a big binder blank pages, and he made every customer ever came in his store, he'd make them write the New Testament. And each customer had to write the next verse. Come on, somebody. He said, would you mind this something I'm doing? Would you write the next verse out of the Bible right here? Just write in your language, whatever you got. And he's got the entire New Testament written by customers that came in his store. That's a treasure. I mean, that's a big binder. I mean, because how many know that can help get the Word of God in you? We had a testimony one time of a guy. He said before he got saved, he was into smoking dope, marijuana. And he said a guy had given him a Bible, and one night he was wanting to smoke marijuana. He had marijuana, but he didn't have any of the little the papers. So he said, I tore the pages out of the Bible, rolled them up. He said, I got the Word of God in me, you know, by smoking on somebody. That was his testimony. That's not my testimony. He just said, I'll not make a comment on that, yay or nay. I'll leave that right there. Number two, there was an all-out search started. You know, in the first one, the Bible says that the shepherd, he said, he's telling this story. Not only are the holy huddle over here listening to it, but can you imagine these tax collectors who's reached the height of the ladder only to find out it was fool's gold. There was prostitutes that sold themselves to where they don't even know what love is anymore. And they're hearing this, that we are valuable to God. And then beyond that, they hear this story that there's an all-out search for them. And what they came to realize, I know some, is here is the Messiah. He could be doing so many things, but he's in a crowd of riffraff, those kind of people, sharing and talking and searching. And he says there's an all-out search. The shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out on the ravines and the slopes and the dangerous place to go. The woman that lost the coin turning furniture upside down, looking everywhere. The third story, a little twist to it. The father thought it best to let the son come to himself before. But there's an all-out search going on. And what happens is this, my Bible tells me, Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he sent his son on a mission. When Jesus came on the earth, he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, I'm given the Holy Ghost. And then when he left, he says, you go into all the world searching, because the all-out search is still on today. Can I tell you, our purpose as a church is not to sit here and feel good every Sunday. Our purpose of the church is to be on an all-out search that Jesus has come into this world and he's still seeking who may be saved. There's an all-out search. He's sending us out on him. And then I like the last point is this. Not only was there an all-out search, but I like the last one. That was, there was a celebration. When he was found, the Bible says when the sheep was found, he put it on his shoulders, brought that sheep back, called all the other shepherds, and a celebration occurred. When the coin was found in that corner, back under that lamp, it says she called all of her friends together. When the son came back home, he was cleansed. The fatted calf was killed. And a party began. Can I tell you, there was a day, and Jesus said this. He says, I'll tell you that there is joy in heaven amongst the angels before God when one sinner comes to the Lord. Every month, we buy lunch for the staff back here because it's birthday lunch. And every once a month, we sing happy birthday. Two or three, four or five of them, one, depending how many there are. And I don't care how much they try to pretend it doesn't mean anything to them. Happy birthday to you. See it with me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear, da 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 da. Happy birthday to you. You try to, no, I don't mean, no. Yeah, thank you. But inside, you're going, yippee, yay, it's my birthday. Somewhere in heaven, There was a day when the banner had my name on it. And I was the one that the angels took their time to rejoice over one solitary life that had turned itself around. And not because I was going to be a preacher, not because I was just one solitary life that mattered to God. And the day was when the banner had my name on it, the candles were mine, the angels were rejoicing because of me. And there's not one person I come in contact with that I don't know. They matter to God. They're valuable to God. There's an all-out search for them. There's not one coworker, not one classmate. There's not one neighbor. There's not one customer that there's not an all-out search for their soul by God. And that there's not a party waiting on them the day they give their life to the Lord. You know, back in 1950, Remington Shaver hired an ad campaign, some ad agency, to one of the top-notch ones of that day, to do an ad for the Remington Shaver Company. And when they did, the ad company, without the okay of Remington, went to the New York Stock Exchange and ordered one share of every stock, 1,096 stocks at that time, ordered and bought one share of every stock on the New York Stock Exchange. $42,000. The vice president of the company tried to stop him. They said, no, we want to order one share of every stock on the New York Stock Exchange. $42,000. A lot of money back in 1950. And they come in. General Douglas MacArthur was the chairman of the board of Remington Shavers back then. They bring, you know how they, you see these movies where the ad agency comes in, the chairman of the board and all the board sitting there around this table. And that time they're all old stuffy men. And they start this presentation, a share in America. And it was going to be a contest. And I don't know if any of you, some of you may be alive back then. And they did share in America. Own America. Own a share in America. And so, you know, somewhere in one of these razors would be this coupon and you would get one share of every stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Well, to say the least, the board was least enthusiastic. They said, listen, we're not in the securities business. We're in the shaver business. And the ad agency guy said, I agree with you. You're not in the securities business, but I disagree with you that you're in the shaver business. You're in the people business. And when they did it, they bought it, got their money back, and the big ad campaign, get a share. Can I tell you something? We're not in the church business. We're not in the religious business. We are in the people business. Everybody say amen. Would you say amen? Come on, everybody stand up this morning. Give the Lord a good clap offering this morning, would you? You know, Jesus said this. He told him, look, lift up your eyes. And here's what else he says. He says, look on the fields that are white unto harvest. You know, I grew up in the country and I grew up on a farm. And you know what I learned about life? Whenever the corn patch got white, that was not, we had already missed the, we were, whenever the corn patch got golden, that's when we knew it was harvest time. Golden. That's when it was, we called it gold. We knew it was harvest time. But you know what we knew was that if you didn't harvest that crop, then after a little while, the tassels grew white. They were still, you could still harvest them, but you knew you didn't have any time left. You had to get at it now because it already passed the optimum time, golden, and it become white unto harvest. And Jesus didn't say, lift up your eyes for it's golden unto harvest. He said, lift up your eyes because it's white unto harvest. That meant they've been ready for a long time. They've been ready for a while. You need to go in there before you lose them. When it was golden, you could go shake it and the thing would fall off. You know what harvesters have learned? You can harvest wheat from Texas to Manitoba if you know the seasons. They say you can harvest right along and go the next one and go the next one and go the next one if you know the seasons. And that's the harvesting. But you know what? Like I told you, you might be like the sower of the seed. I'd love to read biographies of great men. And one of the great men was Charles Wesley. And Charles Wesley, you know, is credited for turning England around and them not having what was called the bloody French Revolution in England. They didn't have it because many historians say it was because of John Wesley. Do you know what he did one time? Somebody talked to him one time and says, you know what, Brother Wesley, you're just witnessing to everybody you meet. You just shared. He said, you need to wait on God and only witness to the ones God tells you to. So he wrote in his journal, he said, so I wanted to obey God. He said, I feel like it was worth. So he said, for the next month, I did that very thing. He said, I had no fruit whatsoever. He said, dump that. The next month, he says, going back to share Jesus with everybody I meet. Come on, somebody. And what you can just do is, listen, I just do this. Don't get on that religious look and, you know, be talking about the game and, now may I talk to you about Jesus. What you can do is just say it naturally. Just say, Jesus helped us. Just do it naturally. Tell you, I don't think this woman, when she ran into town, thy I come meet this man that doth tell. She didn't do anything. She just told her story just like she was. So I got to tell you, just be natural. Just share. And do this. Just be the sower of the seed. And whether it's the garbage man. I remember there was a pastor in town. He told the story. I liked it. He said, God put on his heart the garbage men. He said, would you know the first time that God told me to go give something to the garbage man? I heard him. This before the automated deals. You know, they had two guys on the back of the truck. He said, God told me, go run out and give them something. He said, I ran out there without shoes on. He said, I didn't even have my shoes on yet to go give them. He said, when they dumped my garbage, they broke a glass. I stepped on a piece of glass on the way to give them. Come on, something to share. But I still gave it to him. And then next week you come, it may be the higher ups. It doesn't matter who it is that the Lord, listen, everybody is valuable to God. And there's an all out search. Close your eyes this morning, would you? I want you to make some commitments right now. Say, Lord, you know, my testimony is kind of old and cold and stale. That's why, because you hadn't been rehearsing it. You hadn't been thinking about it. You hadn't been sharing it like you would have hurt. Keep it alive. Man, keep it alive. Keep it alive. Keep it alive. Share it this week. I want to challenge you. Conquer the devil in somebody's life this week by your testimony. You might be a planter. You just might be a waterer. You might be a reaper. It doesn't matter. Don't look at the sky. Sow away, man. Sow away this week. Sow away. This week, go after it. This week, look at everybody and say, that person's valuable. They are valuable. And then say, and there's a search. God is searching for them. And then say, listen, there's a celebration waiting. There's a banner with their name. Angels are poised and ready to share. Father, this morning, we just ask you to make us. Lord, we want you to send us out into the fields, for we believe, we lift up our eyes. Will, we've been into towns, we've been into schools, we've been into customers, we've been into old friends so long that we don't even see them anymore. Father, don't have to use somebody else. Lord, use us afresh and new. Let us lift up our eyes and see what we haven't seen. And Lord, use us, we ask you, in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said a great amen this morning, would you? Give Lord a great clap offer, would you do that? Hallelujah. Turn around, hug somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed. Go be what the Lord's called you to be this week.